Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic retailers, business owners, and ministry leaders. Don't miss the Catholic Marketing Network Momentum 2019 event. Attend seminars that teach how to apply best business practices to any kind of business or ministry. Experience one-of-a-kind networking opportunities and browse the trade show exhibit hall full of Catholic resources and gifts from all over the world. Visit CatholicMarketing.com trade show page to find out how you can be a part of this event that helps Catholics build personal and professional momentum. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Do you ever find yourself confused by what the Church does teach and doesn't teach about the Blessed Virgin Mary? Do you ever stumble on answers to questions from folks who don't really understand our Blessed Mother and our Catholic traditions concerning her? Today on Everyday Spirituality, we are going to look at the four things you need to know about Mary. Four things. If you know these four things, you'll be on your way to being able to understand and stand your ground in questions relating to our Blessed Mother. Hi, this is your host, Marge Steinhage-Fenelon, and very excited to be here with you. I'd like to tell you about a few things first, before we get to the four things that have been going on in my life that have deeply touched my heart and that I'm still digesting. So the first, and maybe you notice there's a little bit of a span between this episode and the previous one, I went down to the state of Texas to visit with my daughter and her family. And I stayed for a week with the other grandma, which was a riot. When the two of us get together, we have a lot of fun, let me tell you, and it's great. But what's on my heart from that trip is this idea of generations. You know, when I look at my granddaughter there, and I think to myself, she is going to grow up in a world that may be not very friendly toward our Catholic faith. Already the world is like that. We know that. In the news, there's Christian and Catholic persecution all over the globe. So I think about the next generation coming up, those that are related to me and even those who aren't related to me. So what are we leaving behind for them? What are we giving them, more importantly? What are we giving them to equip them to be able to stand their ground and understand the teachings of the Catholic Church? So that's the first thing that's been kind of rolling around in my head and weighing on my heart. The second thing is a recent tragedy, not my own, but a tragedy in the life of a very close friend, a very dear friend. Her son had mental illness, and he had schizophrenia, and it did not show until probably his late teens, early 20s. The schizophrenia led to substance abuse, and particularly the really hardcore drugs. He left home when he was just 19 and took off to find his way in the world. Ended up many, many, many states away on the West Coast, living on his own, homeless by choice. And I know there are some who are homeless because it's not their choice, because of some kind of financial devastation. But in terms of this young man, it was the lifestyle he chose. And I'm sure that the mental illness and the drug abuse, I'm sure that played into it. Well, a few weeks before, had presented himself at the emergency room because he was having severe pain in his legs and needed help. It was difficult walking, as a matter of fact. So he went to the ER and was admitted to the ER, admitted to the hospital, and actually ended up in the ICU because the reason his legs were hurting was because his heart, after all of the years of drug use, now this is, you know, the young man at this point was 29 years old. So 10 years of living on the streets and fighting this monster, this mental illness, and then in the throes of substance abuse, all of that damaged his heart severely. And so, of course, that if you don't have good circulation, it's going to affect the limbs, and that's exactly what happened to this young man. It affected his limbs, and that's why the pain in the legs. And in the course of discovering that he had a severe amount of heart damage, one of his valves was completely damaged and nearly broken loose. It was very serious. They also discovered that his liver had begun to fail. So you have this young man fighting mental illness and then also, you know, dealing with all that comes with it, the physical stuff. The mother, my friend, got on a plane, traveled there to the West Coast to the hospital, and stayed some time, stayed with her son, and you know, I'm so proud of her, and I get choked up just thinking about it. But she was able to bring him around and convince him to accept the anointing of the sick and the last rites. Phenomenal. You know, he'd been away from the church now for that entire decade. And so he was, in the case that he would pass away, he was prepared. He was prepared to meet the Lord. She felt that he was in a stable enough place that she could return home and that he would be able to continue to recover in the hospital. The staff was marvelous staff. They were working very hard because they understood it was the mental illness that had got him in this situation. Once back home, maybe after a week or so, the mom was notified that the young man had escaped from the hospital. He just bolted. And again, I have to remind you, you know, that's the mental illness. It's an altered reality. So he bolted and ran, left the hospital. He was, again, goodness knows where, out on the streets for another week. And suddenly one night ended up again at the emergency room door because, again, he was failing. He knew he was very, very sick. They admitted him again and called his mom kind of a repeat of the story from before. She got on a plane because she knew at this point it was very serious, got on a plane and stayed with him. He was again admitted to the intensive care unit. After a few days, he passed away. The young man died. This life, this young man, I knew this young man from the time he was a very small boy. Could be even from the time he was a baby. I mean, it's one of those friendships where our kids grew up together and you kind of lose, you forget when exactly you connected. But this death, this young man who I knew as a kind and sweet and actually very religious little boy had fallen in the darkness of the mental disease and was crushed by substance abuse. When something like this touches you so personally, you know, you read it in the news and we hear about all the drugs and all the substance abuse, and we know that there are young people dying left and right. But when it's a young person that you know closely, it's quite an impact. And I'd like to talk more about that on a future show, because I think there's a lot to dig into with that. And so I encourage you to stay tuned, because I need to go back to that. But first we just had the funeral. So the end of the story is, with all of the expense, it was far, far too costly to transport the body back here to the home, his childhood home, and his mom and the rest of his siblings. And so his mom had him cremated, and then the remains were brought back. It was less expensive and more effective, you know, an easier way to transport his remains. And then we had a memorial mass and a burial for this young man just a couple days ago. So I'm digesting still and letting it kind of roll through my head and trying to figure out what I'm to learn from this. And once I figure that out, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to share with you, because like I said, there's a lot there. So let's go back. Let's go back to those four things you need to know about Mary as a Catholic. Four things you need to know. And what these four things are, they are the four defined Marian doctrines of the Catholic Church. What's a doctrine? A doctrine is a belief, that a truth that we are obligated to believe as Catholics. We're obligated to believe them. That's a doctrine. There are theories, there are traditions, or you know, many, many facets to our Catholic faith, and we are not bound to believe all of them, but doctrines we are bound to believe. So what are they? What are the four defined doctrines of our Blessed Mother? The first is Mary is the Mother of God. The second is that Mary is a perpetual virgin. The third is that Mary was immaculately conceived. Immaculately conceived. And then fourth, finally, that the doctrine is that Mary was bodily assumed into heaven. So what does all this fancy stuff mean? All this fancy lingo? Well, the first one's pretty easy, Mother of God. And the logic behind that is quite simple. So Mary's the mother of Jesus. That's a proven fact. It's in the Bible, the New Testament. It's in the writings, the records of that time period. So Mary is the mother of Jesus. Well, Jesus is God, is he not? Don't we believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God? Jesus is God. So Mary is the mother of Jesus. Jesus is God. So therefore, Mary is the mother of God. And there are four scripture passages that back that up. And they're very short, so I can read them to you. The first is Luke chapter 1, verse 43. And here's what it says. Elizabeth calls Mary the mother of my Lord. Mother of my Lord. In the New Testament, the word Lord refers only to God. Anytime you see the word Lord in the New Testament, it's referring to God. Okay, so Elizabeth says, the mother of my Lord. Second, the second passage is Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And that is, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Third is Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. That's what the angel said. Holy, the Son of God. Remember, Mary is the mother. So, and Jesus is the Son of God. So, Mary's the mother of God. And then finally, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Those were St. Paul's words to the Galatians. When the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman. So that's easy, I think, at least for me. That's fairly simple and straightforward. Mary is the mother of God. So that's the first defined doctrine, defined teaching on Mary of our Catholic faith. And you can go deeper into that, which we won't do today, but just to give you kind of an inkling of where that can lead to. So Jesus is, in a sense, our brother. Now, I don't mean brother, yo-ho, let's hang out and have fun. That is definitely not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the mystical body of Christ. I'm getting at the fact that we, you and I, and everybody we know, every human being ever born, ever to be born, who exists now, we are all children of God. Children of God. Did you hear what I said? Children of God, right? So, our Lord is God. Our Lord is the Son in the Trinity. So his mother, then, is our mother. And I'll talk more about that at another time. But that just gives you a little bit of background on that, so that you can, see where that goes, that point. Then the next, Mary's perpetual virginity. Oh, folks struggle with this. A lot of Catholics, and most definitely a number of the Protestant brethren struggle with this. Mary's perpetual virginity. What does that mean? What do we mean when we say that? It means that Mary was a virgin before Christ was born, during Christ's birth, and then forever after. Christ's birth was a miraculous birth. And so she maintained, and it's one of those mysteries that are kind of veiled from our eyes. Even during the birth, she remained a virgin. She maintained her virginity. So when we think about this, and we're trying to answer within ourselves, for ourselves, and then for others, this idea of, how could that be, perpetual virginity? Keep in mind that in the New Testament, the brothers, and that's in quotes, the brothers of Jesus are never called sons of Mary. Mm-hmm. They're never called sons of Mary. And that, when you, the word, the brothers, the way that is translated, the original word, the way the word brother was used in the New Testament, in that language, in that place, in that time, it meant relatives. So really what, when you see brothers of Jesus, what you should in your head be reading is relatives of Jesus. They're never called sons of Mary. And then here's something else to think about. Some of these brothers advise and reprimand Jesus. So I won't read the passages right now, but if you look in John chapter 7, verse 34, and Mark chapter 3, verse 21, they advise and kind of reprimand Jesus. Well, in the Jewish culture, younger brothers never admonish an elder brother. Never. That's never done. So therefore, they couldn't have been younger children of Mary. They couldn't have been. There's no possible way. Isn't that something else? I think that's very cool. All right. Also, after the ascension, the followers of Jesus, who included Mary and the Apostle John, with whom Mary was now living at that point, and the brothers, remember the relatives of Jesus, they gathered in the upper room. Okay, so, but if these brothers of Jesus were also Mary's sons, then it would have said that Mary was praying together with her sons. But it didn't say that, did it? It doesn't say it. It doesn't say she was praying with her sons. She was praying with the followers of her son. Big difference. Big, big difference. Mary's perpetual virginity. And then you can also, you know, there's another passage. You can think about the angel appearing to Saint Joseph in the dream, because the angel assures Saint Joseph that Mary was yet pure and faithful to him. Now go back and look it up. He assures her. The angel, I said it backwards, didn't I? The angel assures Saint Joseph that she being Mary, is yet faithful and pure. That child was conceived, excuse me, by the Holy Spirit in the dream. Angels can't lie. No, of course they can't. All right, moving on to the third, the Immaculate Conception. A lot of people think that the Immaculate Conception refers to Jesus's conception. That's not true. It refers to Mary's conception. It's Mary's conception. The Immaculate Conception. Mary was immaculately conceived. There are three points to remember about that. Okay? And that help you to understand, but then will help you explain that dogma to others if asked. So first, Mary was, here's the way it goes, all right? So first, Mary was preserved from original sin from the first moment of her existence. So not only was Mary free from original sin, she was also completely preserved from any stain or effects of original sin. So this means she had absolutely no corrupt nature. There wasn't a speck of corruption in our Blessed Mother in any possible way. Second point, the Immaculate Conception only deals with Mary's freedom from original sin. However, the Church also teaches the doctrine that Mary was never touched by personal sin. She was never touched by personal sin. And then the third is, this privilege was given to Mary in view of Christ's merits. So, didn't Mary need to be saved? Did she need a Savior? Yes, indeed she did. Jesus was Mary's Savior. She was redeemed by Jesus. There goes Miss Daisy. She was redeemed by Jesus just as we are, except that Mary's redemption was unique because it was, we say it was proactive. It was proactive because the fruit of Christ's redemption was applied to preserve Mary from sin. So to us, for us, it's applied to remove sins. Remove sins committed. See the difference? Mary's redemption preserved her from sin. Our redemption removes the punishment, the sin, the ugliness of the sin. So some people, and it's mostly correct but somewhat incorrect to say that Mary was pre-redeemed, but that's a really good kind of visual for that. And then finally, Mary's bodily assumption. There's a really, really simple way to think about this. Look, Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. She's been referred to that. She was referred to that in the Old Testament. She's referred to it in the book of Revelation. She's the Ark of the Covenant. Well, okay, so what's inside the Ark? Our Lord Jesus. If Mary had Jesus within her womb, just think about that. If Mary had Jesus within her womb, you, in essence, you have the resting place of God Himself. Think of how holy places are that have been touched by God or that have God's presence. Think of our tabernacles, how we respect them, how holy they are because Jesus is inside of them. So why in the world would God allow for Mary's body to become corrupted, to be buried and become corrupted when that is the place that was home, that gave birth, that nurtured our Lord Jesus Christ? So here's an interesting thing. The church fathers say that she did die. She completed her earthly life, but then was taken into heaven where her body and soul were glorified. Her body and soul were glorified because they gave birth to Christ. They gave birth to Christ. And so, you know, when you think about the Marian apparitions, you know, that's really her. That's really her. When she appears, that's really her. Because she was bodily assumed into heaven. Now, do not confuse this with Jesus' ascension. Okay? Assumption, ascension, that can be confusing. Assumption is Mary's being assumed into, taken up into heaven by the power of God to protect her body and soul and glorify them. Okay? Jesus Christ was ascended. He ascended by his own power. So Mary's the creature. She's assumed, drawn up into heaven by God. Jesus is God, and he ascends of his own power back to his Father, back to heaven. That's the difference. So those are the four things that you need to know about Mary. If you remember these four doctrines, these four defined doctrines, you will be on your way to understanding and then being able to communicate Mary's essence and help others to understand it as well. So remember, first is Mary's Mother of God. The second is Mary is a perpetual virgin. Third, Mary was immaculately conceived. And fourth is Mary was bodily assumed into heaven. Pretty cool stuff, no? I think it's awesome. So if you want to help me out, and I'm going to ask a favor, a solid. Help me to bring the world to Christ through Mary by liking and sharing this podcast. Please share it. And let's, you and I together, let's lead the world to Christ through Mary. God bless you, my friends, and may our Mother Mary guide and protect you always. This is Marge Steinlake-Fenlin, and I will talk to you again soon.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.